Our Heavenly Father, Lord, God, you know my heart. And I simply ask, dear God, that you would hide me behind the cross. Give me clarity of thought and clearness of speech. God, I ask that you would bind every opposing power of hell in the name of Jesus. God, give liberty. God, send thy spirit. And again, Lord, be with that one that's nearest hell, dear God. We ask these things in the precious, holy, blood-stained name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Psalms 51 is a psalm of David written after he committed the sin with Bathsheba and Nathan the prophet confronted him. And for those of us that may be unfamiliar with that, I'm going to give a little bit of a foundation. But David had taken another man's wife and lain with her and then sent her home. He found out that she had conceived a child. At that point, he called for her husband to come home, hoping that her husband would go to the house to be with his wife. But he refused to while his brothers were still out on the front line fighting. So David sent him back with a letter, which was his own death sentence, and had him killed in battle. So not only had David committed adultery, but he had committed murder. And was going on like life was none the better. And then Nathan, the prophet, come and confronted him with his sin. And after that, this psalm was written. And I believe the first thing that we see here is a need for forgiveness. Verses 1 and 2, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. That word thoroughly means complete. From one side to the other, completely through his whole being, he was asking God to cleanse him. Now, I think the first place that we've got to come to this morning is to realize that each and every one of us have all of God that we want. God hasn't made any mistakes. God hasn't withheld his goodness from us, his protection from us. He has not withheld anything from us. But it's simply the lack of our willingness, the lack of our want in the things of God that find us where we are today. I guarantee you, each and every single one of us can think in our minds right now on at least one thing that God has pointed out in your life and in mine. Remember, I'm not here with you. This is not a preacher preaching to a congregation on something that he has gotten complete victory over. I stand there with you. But at least one thing in our lives we know that God has put his finger on. God has made it more than clear that we need to get that out of our lives. And not just on one occasion, but to the point now that we're not even convicted by it anymore because we're so far away from God. And yet he's right where we left him. We know what he wants us to do, but we're just too stubborn to do it. One thing I noticed, drop with me down to verse 4. Against thee, thee only have I sinned. David was telling God, ultimately it's against you in which I've sinned. Yes, that does not mean that sin does not involve other people or hurt other people. But ultimately when it comes down to it, and I believe that's where the main issue is, is that we're worried about what everybody else thinks instead of worried about what God thinks. When ultimately God is the one that we're sinning against. And God alone. Oh, if we were to get that in our hearts. We see the need for forgiveness. But if you drop with me down to verse 10, we see the need for restoration. And I want us to notice in who David's talking to and how he's asking God to do these things. Ultimately, he's saying, I can't do it myself. Ultimately, I don't have what it takes. But if you'll do it, God, it'll get done. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. He's asking God, create in me a clean heart once again. Renew a right spirit within me. Again, he's asking God for this. Cast me not away from thy presence. And take not thy Holy Spirit from me. How long has it been since you and I have felt the warmth of the Holy Spirit? How long have we truly been so cold that we've just simply forgotten all about what it's like to walk in the Spirit? Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. There's something about that word joy that we have to remember. See, happiness is a feeling. Happiness comes and goes on whims and things going on in our life. But joy is always sustainable through God. Amen. Joy comes from God and God alone. That's how you can stand in the deepest, darkest trial of your life and still go on with a smile on your face because the joy of the Lord is radiating out of you. So how long has it been since we've been joyful? Walking around day to day, feeling like, oh, bless me, God, if you can. Walking around day to day in our own misery. And let's be honest about it. Aren't you just miserable? You know it. We all try to hide it. Oh, we come in here and we've got our suit on. We put a smile on our face. How you doing, brother? How you doing, sister? But deep down inside, we're like a barren wasteland. And it's been so long since God's been able to use us that we can't even remember what it's like. And uphold me with a free spirit. It doesn't cost us anything. If you've been washed in the blood, if you've been saved by grace, then he wants you to be full of his spirit. Amen. It is a free gift. He sent the comforter to us on the day of Pentecost. And yet we go day to day being uncomforted. So we see the need for forgiveness. We see the need for restoration. Drop with me down to verse 16, and I want to stay here for a little while. Listen to what David is saying here. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Now we got to remember what sin David's talking about here. Adultery and murder were generally dealt with not by giving sacrifices as an atonement, but usually you were separated from the people and killed. There was no more sacrifice that David could offer. His sin was too great. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. I asked you this question after hearing the Bible this morning. What kind of spirit will you leave with? Because a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. That word contrite in the Strong's, one of the words used is collapse. That there be nothing left but a broken, collapsed heart, knowing that He is the only hope that we have. And until we get to that point, we'll go nowhere. We'll go nowhere with God. And until we get past ourselves, we will stay in the same situation, but only to get continually worse. Nothing gets better away from God. Nothing does. He is the only hope that any of us have. And yet we treat Him so carelessly. In the simplest things, we do what we want to do, and it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks, including Him. Let's just be honest. And until we come to the end of self, nothing will ever change. Now notice, David was asking for God's help to get there. God has the answers. It's God that will create in you a new spirit. It's God that will do these things. But we've got to come before Him broken. When's the last time you've been broken? When's the last time that your condition actually affected the way that you live, in a sense that you knew that if you didn't do something right now, it may be too late? Are you even happy? I'd say rarely. And I know that we don't have the joy that the Bible speaks of. And I also believe that this may be the very reason that we haven't been seeing people saved. Because the church as a whole has a heart problem. I believe that we have a man of God that does everything in his power to prepare for every service. I know he prays. I know he does. So if he's doing what he should be doing, and God's still not blessing it like God wants to bless it, where does the blame lie then? I take part of that. I do. I can take you to a time when I was closer. I can take you to a time when it burned within the depths of my soul. Amen. And I ate, slept, and breathed Jesus. So where are you today? Have you ever been to that point? Have you ever walked so close with the Lord that you went to bed thinking about Him? You woke up thinking about Him. And every step that you took through the day, you knew He was right beside you. Instead of the state that we find ourselves in today, wondering, where are you at, God? It's been so long since I felt you. When He has went nowhere, it's us that has walked away. If the pianist could come, please, I'm almost finished. I know what I'm going to do with this message. But my question to you is, what are you going to do with it? I can't fix you. You can't fix me. Brother John can't fix you. Miss Melissa can't fix you. Nobody can fix you but God. Nobody can fix me but God. So what are you going to do with it? If everyone would please stand to your feet with heads bowed and eyes closed.